Good morning and welcome to this online celebration of Holy Communion on this 11th Sunday after Trinity. As always, whoever you are and wherever you come from, we welcome you. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth stand in awe of him. Hymn 295, Come, Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove. Almighty God,
to whom all hearts are open,
all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord,
have mercy on us
and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God,
Almighty God,
our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrew's children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because she said, I drew him out of the water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The psalm appointed for this morning is number 124, which we shall say by alternate division of verses. If the Lord himself had not been on our side,
now may Israel say,
if the Lord hath not been on our side,
when enemies rose up against us,
then would they have swallowed us alive,
when their anger burned against us.
Then would the waters have overwhelmed us, and the torrent gone over our soul.
Over our soul would have swept the raging waters.
But blessed be the Lord,
who has not given us over to be a prey for their teeth.
Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler.
The snare is broken, and we are delivered.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who has made heaven and earth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn, number 639, O Thou Who Camest From Above.
Oh,
Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Matthew, chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Grant, O God, that through the written word and through the spoken word, we may behold the living word, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before there was coronavirus, the last time corona was in the news was during the solar eclipse of 2017. Back then, of course, it didn't refer to a virus, but to the dazzling light of the sun's plasma or atmosphere that is usually invisible to us, but which we can see during a solar eclipse. It is that type of corona that we'll be thinking about today. For a moment back in 2017, in a year that seems like it was decades ago, the world stopped and people stepped outside to observe the strange phenomenon happening in the sky. These days, we plan for months and perhaps years to observe solar eclipses, but obviously the first recorded solar eclipses were quite a shock to humanity. As with other celestial phenomena, humans had no way of completely observing or explaining what was happening in the sky. So they came up with their own theories. One was that a dragon was eating the sun. In response, people would sacrifice animals, sometimes even humans, to try to get the dragon to leave them. Those sacrifices worked every time. The sun always returned. The Greek historian Herodotus tells us about when the path of totality crossed a battlefield as the Medes and the Lydians fought a long-standing war. When the sky became dark, the soldiers immediately stopped fighting, and their leaders took the eclipse as a sign that they should agree to a truce. It's called the Eclipse of Thales, named after the philosopher who is said to have predicted it ahead of time. That battle, eclipse and truce, occurred on the 28th of May, 585 BC. Eclipses are much less of a mystery to us now. We now know that there is no dragon in the sky. We know that we do not need to sacrifice anyone or anything to convince the sun to come back. We can predict the exact dates and times of every eclipse, so it's much less of a shock. They no longer change the course of history in quite the same way. However, a total solar eclipse is still a big deal, and science has made it possible for more people to witness one. The next one, just in case you're wondering, is predicted for April 2024. In 2017, people streamed in from all over the country to get into the Path of Totality, where the moon completely obscures the sun, the birds stop chirping, the land goes dark, and all you can see of the sun is the corona, the shimmer around the sun. People of all faiths and none describe it as a deep spiritual experience. And on the 21st of August 2017, the whole country stopped bickering about everything for just a few minutes to witness the cosmos putting on a show. And then, just like that, life restarted again. In today's gospel reading, Jesus has come a little way since having healed the Canaanite woman's daughter in a previous week's reading. Between that passage and this one, he's fed 4,000 people, including women and children, and had plenty of leftovers. And right after that, he's argued with the Pharisees and other religious authorities about showing them a sign that he's really sent from God. Of course, he had just given them a sign. He'd just fed a huge crowd of people out of nothing. No sense of irony, those Pharisees. Then, after that, even his disciples don't seem to understand who he is or what his mission is. It's one of those times when Jesus must have felt like nobody understood him or his mission, despite him constantly talking about it. Finally, Jesus directly asks his disciples, "Who do people out there say that I am?" Perhaps he starts with the crowds rather than the disciples, because he knows it'll be easier for them to talk about other people's feelings and assumptions rather than their own. The reply comes, "Well, some say John the Baptist," which could be a case of mistaken identity on behalf of the crowds, or it could be a case of he's back from the dead, depending on whether they'd heard the news that John had been killed. But then there are also other, definitely they think you're back from the dead cases. One response to Jesus' question about who the crowd say he is comes in, "Some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Then Jesus asks his disciples pointedly about their own views of him. "Who do you say that I am?" A disciple who, up to that point, has been called Simon, steps up and delivers, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And just like that, something extraordinary has happened, and something hidden has been revealed. They finally said it out loud. You know those moments when you know something is true, but then when you hear yourself say it, it becomes real for you. This was probably like that for Peter. All of a sudden, things shift dramatically, and you can see things in a way you never have before, all because someone said what he already knew out loud. Peter finds himself in a type of Path of Totality, where everything stops for a moment, and where all the disciples look up and see the same thing. In a few minutes, everything will be back to normal, and Jesus will quickly tell them not to tell anyone that he's the Messiah. But for a few shining moments, everything shifts, and Simon even gets a new name. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah," I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and all of hell won't be able to touch it. We are the heirs of Peter and all those who built the church. The church's history is not a clean one. The church has done plenty of evil in Christ's name to all types of people. But every now and then, we find ourselves in a type of path of totality. Every now and then, everything stops, and we see clearly not only who God is, a self-giving God of love, patience, and welcome, but who we are and who we are meant to be. We have come from God, and we are going to God. And right now, God says, "Who do you say that I am?" Consider that question for yourself, because it will shape who you and we will be. Sometime today, put yourself in the path of totality. For just a moment, say it out loud. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to our church? Solar eclipses shake up much within us. They make us see how very tiny we are amid a huge solar system and universe. Eclipses help us to understand something about ourselves. They provide those rare moments of clarity when we can see things that we usually cannot, both literally and metaphorically. They stop everything. All the arguing, even all the suffering, just for a few moments. They help us all to look up and see the same thing. When we worship together, whether in person or online, when spiritually we take the Holy Communion together, we are in a type of path of totality. Everything can stop for just a few minutes as we all gather around Christ. Christ may be the only thing we have in common, but luckily, Christ is the only thing that matters. Let us put ourselves in the path of totality. Let us say who we think Jesus is, and who we think we are in Christ out loud. For once, let us look to Christ, and in so doing, may we look up and see the same thing. Love, grace, and the path of totality. Total, complete, and all-encompassing love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, keep your church in strength and stability by your promise that no evil shall prevail against it. Make its members zealous in their callings to work in all things according to your will. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. We pray for this group of parishes and also the parish of Newcastle and the rector, Canon Ian Ellis. We pray for John, our archbishop and metropolitan, and the other church leaders. Grant them your daily help and build us up in faith and love. As we are fed by your word and sacrament, help us to seek your ways in all we do. Guide us and direct us in the preparations we will be making to safely return to Sunday services in our church buildings in September. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all creation, give to all people the desire to work together for good. As they recognize their calling, may each one come to know Christ as the Son of God. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Brandon Lewis, and the government, the First Minister, Arlene Foster, Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the Executive. Also, President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Tánaiste Leo Varadkar, and the government in the Republic. May the services of all in positions of responsibility connect with them and the people they serve with you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, show us the way to relieve the needs that lie close to us. Shield our families from the assaults and fear of coronavirus. We pray for those who are living in fear, fear of illness, fear for loved ones, fear of others' reaction to them. Give to all people the desire to work together for good. As they recognize their calling, may each come to know Christ as the Son of God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, bless us in our daily work and bless those who work with us. Use in your service the abilities of all who live and work in this community. Grant wisdom and discernment to those who are called to special responsibility, particularly in the National Health Service. We pray also for the governors, staff, and pupils of our schools as they prepare to reopen following the extended period of closure. We remember all students affected by the confusion over examination results. We pray also for those who have the responsibility of making further decisions about the allocation of university places. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, we pray for everyone affected by COVID-19, whether physically, emotionally, or financially, or those who have lost their jobs. Strengthen with hope those who think themselves of no worth. Give them light to understand their part in your purpose and grace to fulfill it. We pray for all who have been bereaved, and in particular, all who mourn Mrs. Molly Greer. We pray for her husband, Oliver, her daughters, Isabel and Catherine, sons-in-law, Alan and Trevor, and the entire family circle. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of eternity, we commend those who have died in the faith of Christ, true to the church which he built. Keep us constant in the same faith now and at the last. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume
to come to this your table,
merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Hymn 438. O thou who at thy Eucharist didst pray.
Thank you.
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
As we eat and drink these holy gifts,
make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shared for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving.
The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Lord of all mercy, we, your faithful people, have celebrated the memorial of that single sacrifice which takes away our sins and brings pardon and peace. By our communion, keep us firm on the foundation of the gospel and preserve us from all sin through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty
God,
we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Hymn 528, The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord.
The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From him he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, amen.
It is good that you have been able to participate in this online service, and we thank you for that. Our next act of worship online will be next Sunday at the usual time of 10 o'clock. The service will be morning prayer and the litany. Thank you.